This is episode number 554 of the Inner Fight Podcast. Welcome back to another edition of the show. And as always, a big shout out to our show sponsors, Smith Street Paleo. Please do hop over to smithstreetpaleo.com. It is the final week of their summer promotion where they're doing a special corporate deal for you and your work colleagues to get over on the meal plan. Email them hello@smithstreetpaleo.com to find out all about that. Here we go. This is a show that I've been super excited about. Justin LaFranco is the founder of Morning Chalk Up, which those of you that are in the CrossFit community may get their email pretty much every day. Well, every single day they send out an email bringing, as Justin says in this show, the CrossFit, the news of the CrossFit community together. Now, around about 8 months ago, when CrossFit were going through a lot of changes, Morning Chalk Up fast became the go-to place to get information about what was going on in CrossFit. And that has remained. They've announced stuff. They're really the media hub now for CrossFit. So I was super excited to get this interview with Justin. Asked him some questions that, as you'll see, are pretty direct to get his thoughts, and he just went ahead and answered them all super openly. A really cool guy, lots of positive energy, and gives us a lot of good and positive hope for CrossFit for the future. Shares his opinions on the changes, what we might see this year. And don't forget, the 2020 season is actually just about to start. We're less than 2 months away from that now. So if you are planning to do something in the 2020 season, the Open will start in October. You need to be thinking about what's going on there, whether it's jumping into specialty classes, gymnastics, weightlifting, working a little bit more on your conditioning. We all know that Boz's programming block has got a little bit more intense now to get people ready for that. But this is super cool chat here with Justin. He joined me on Skype from the States, and I really hope you guys enjoy it. Let's jump in. Welcome back to another episode of the show. And today I'm super excited because we are joined by a guest who a lot of you might have heard about. These guys, the founder, Justin LaFranco of Morning Chalk Up. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm finally recovering from the week of crazy at the CrossFit Games. It was a heck of a lot of work and not very little sleep, so it took me about a week to kind of balance back out.
Right. I'm super excited to chat to you because you guys, over sort of the last 7 or 8 months, have become, I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, CrossFit Media. You've taken on this role where everyone is suddenly on the Morning Chalk Up mailing list waiting for CrossFit's news. But mate, we'll jump into that later. Give me a little bit of a background. When did you start Morning Chalk Up? Why did you start Morning Chalk Up? For those that don't know, what the hell is this thing?
Yeah, so the what is probably the easiest thing to answer. And the Morning Chalk Up is a daily newsletter for people that do CrossFit. At its most simplest level, if you do CrossFit, an affiliate or at a gym, and you want to know what's going on, not only in the community, but in the sports side of CrossFit, we're going to deliver you a newsletter every morning, Monday through Saturday, that keeps you up to date. It takes about 5 minutes to read. And you'll know pretty much everything that you need to know to stay in the loop. As far as the when, I started about 3.5 years ago. I got out of politics. I was working in Washington, D.C., and just kind of decided my time there was done. So I moved back home with my parents at 29 years old, which was super cool, and slept in their extra room and started emailing people randomly this newsletter called The Morning Chalk Up, and steadily and slowly grew it from there little by little. And for really, like the first 2 years, I was the only person creating content. We used a couple of other sort of volunteer, part-time contractors to write stories from time to time, but for the most part, it was me. And the why is really simple. I thought that CrossFit as a community was ripe and ready for something to bring everybody together into a single location, somewhere where you could find out what's going on in a gym halfway across the world in the UAE or China, or somewhere in the Midwest or in California where CrossFit Mecca is, and bring that all together into a single place. And so you didn't have to scour social media, and you didn't have to know who was involved in something in New York City or in Emerald City, Florida. You could just kind of read us and we'll tell you.
And mate, you've done, you really have done an incredible job because.
Thank you.
No, not at all. We're in Dubai and, you know, I think obviously, yeah, 3 years ago being in the CrossFit community, I heard about Morning Chalk Up and, you know, you start and then people are screenshotting it, sending it to you. And, you know, you've actually kindly covered in a fight as well on there on numerous occasions.
Yeah, we have.
But mate, how do you, let's talk a little bit about that. You said, you know, content, how do you get the news that you're putting out there?
So that's a question I get a lot. And what it really comes down to is kind of being a sponge in the most real way possible. We just soak up information from all parts of the globe. And we also have a pretty vast network now of people that read us. And like you just mentioned, people are screenshotting things from Interfight and they're sending it to you, or anytime a gym gets mentioned, it comes back to that gym. And so naturally people want to see their name or their community or their event covered. And so we get a lot of things now sent to us. Now, when it comes to the juicier things and the sort of more headline grabbing things, that's because we've done a really, really good job being consistent and working sources and developing sources across the community. And we talk a lot. I fire off anywhere from a dozen to two dozen emails a day to individuals just trying to track down information. Just say, hey, have you heard anything about this or anything going on in your world, or, you know, what's new, you know, with your event and stuff. And that's just a part of the gig. It's being a center and a source of information. And that just requires talking to people.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you've done super well, mate, because previously, as you saw in CrossFit, there was no one doing that. To get hold of CrossFit Media it was probably easier to get a dinner date with Trump than to get hold of CrossFit Media. But, you know,
hey man, that only costs you like $4,500. You can get the silver plate special at the next campaign rally. I can give you that. I can tell you where to buy it.
Mate, you'll be having everyone coming over there for that.
Sure, for $4,500. I mean, you can also have dinner with me for half the price, and it's no big deal.
You're calm. Yeah, well, mate, I think by the sounds of what you've said so far, I think I'd much rather have dinner with you, but that's a whole other show, I guess. Mate, talk to us a little bit about your relationship with CrossFit, because obviously you must have been involved in it before. Where did it all start and how did you get into the community?
Yeah, so there's a two-part question. My relationship with CrossFit as a training methodology actually dates back to 2006 when I was in college. The actual gym that I go to now, Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, the owner introduced me to CrossFit. We were neighbors in our dormitory and it stuck with him. It didn't stick with me. It took me a little while to come around. About four more years in 2010, I started doing it on my own. And I actually did it in a kind of like a Globo gym inside of the House of Representatives. So I was actually underground and we have a staff gym.
Yeah,
because that's where I worked at the time. And so I was doing things like Helen on a treadmill and using a dumbbell instead of a kettlebell and doing pull-ups and stuff. And this was in Congress. So it's a bit of a funny place to be, you know, starting CrossFit up. And I was known as the CrossFitter. I'd walk, you know, like the halls of Congress and sort of like be in my gym shorts. Like they knew I was like on the way to, you know, go work out and stuff. And then the second part of the question is with CrossFit HQ, and my relationship with them has been very good. I mean, it's always been a professional relationship in that I was, came from a world where I was doing press and media, as a press flack in Congress. And so I already had been introduced to this world of like professional media. Right. And so I came to them with like lots of, you know, level-headed questions and just asked them and probably was one of the first people to ever reach out about maybe a controversial or less than interesting a topic they'd be interested in discussing, like as a professional. And so, you know, it started that we just kind of developed a professional relationship over time. And I've continued to cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, we talk about a lot of the great things that they're doing right, which is just helping millions of people worldwide become healthier and fitter. And then, you know, there's also areas where we're looking at it and we're saying, you know, are they doing the right thing here? And, you know, have they handled the situation properly, or are they communicating with affiliates in the right way and stuff? And when those situations come up, we brought those issues to light. But, you know, for the most part, we're huge supporters of CrossFit and exactly what they're doing. So on a professional level, our relationship's been really good. And, you know, it's kind of grown since you know, we've grown up a lot more too. And we just take it every day at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, mate. And a lot of, as I said, sort of at the start there, over the last 7 or 8 months, I think people have been looking to Morning Chalk Up because you guys have been the voice of CrossFit. You've published, and that's what I love about reading Morning Chalk Up, is that you can tell that there's no real agenda. If it's, like you said, they're a bit controversial, yeah, you want to put it out there, but you're telling the story, seems very sort of transparently.
Yeah, we try and do that. We try and have a level of, like, what I explained to some people who've asked me the same question before is, I came from a world in politics where media is kind of treated as a tip of the spear sort of scenario, and we're trying to constantly poke at or puncture. And, you know, I don't think that's the best way to do it necessarily. That may be the way politics exists today, but we're not in politics. And I think that we should all be a little bit more adults about what we say, what we don't say, and how we treat it. And if you want to grab headlines, great. If you want to, you know, have the most clicked story of the day, great. But I don't really want those things. What I want is I want people to actually know what's going on, about stories that they care about yeah. things they should care about or know about. And whether they decide that it's the most clicked of the day for them is their call. And, we want to have, you know, empathy, which is something that the media environment, I doubt it's just in the United States, severely lack. And you know, we want to, like, believe in the best version of people and stuff. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes when you have unfortunate situations, but you can still be an adult and you can still recognize that not everything needs to go into print. And, you know, you are responsible for the language that you choose to use, and how you choose to characterize things is on you. And it's on me as an editor in chief. And it's on my responsibility to make sure that the staff that I'm managing does that too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, very, very well put, mate. When around 8 months ago, I think it was sort of when we heard from CrossFit that there'd be changes in the structure of the CrossFit Games. Yeah. It was, I don't know how you felt about it, mate, and I don't know what you want to say, but I thought it was very strange that CrossFit didn't just put something on their website. We had to wait a few weeks. And then we got the news through our good friends over at Morning Chalk Up. Talk to us a little bit about that time, mate. Tell us what you can, spill what beans you can. I'm excited.
Well, so this is a dynamic situation that is extremely interesting. And so what you have is sort of Greg Glassman kind of deciding he's going to take the reins back at CrossFit headquarters. And there are a lot of instances where, you know, he's sort of faced opposition, you know, from various parts of the organization where they had, you know, felt like they were moving in the right direction, where they felt like the CrossFit Games was moving in the right direction. But ultimately Greg was sort of dissatisfied with how that was happening and how it was unfolding, and wanted to make some pretty drastic changes. And so he was doing that, and he was doing that pretty swiftly. And, you know, having been sort of a part of large organizations that have made swift changes before, I am a little bit sympathetic to the situation that they have, which is they actually don't have a press secretary. You know, they don't have somebody who's tip of the spear, who's responding to press inquiries, and is also in charge of developing, articulating, and pushing out the message of CrossFit HQ. They don't have somebody that's like that. You know, that used to be something that I would be involved in when I was working professionally. And now I'm the guy asking the really painful questions and annoying people, but they don't have that, you know, they don't have that kind of guy or girl. And so they suffered in that instance because a lot of people were in a situation where they were getting let go, where they were unsure if they were getting let go. Yeah. So your primary points of communication were sort of in a position where they're a bit of a fight for their life scenario, and they're not going to want to talk to somebody like me or somebody else. They're also not exactly what's being communicated.
Yeah.
So a lot of the chief executives being the C-suite and the individuals, you know, responsible for making the major decisions about the CrossFit Games were getting this information in real time from Greg and working through these changes in real time. The best metaphor I can use to describe it is flying the plane and assembling it at the same time.
Right.
Greg spent a lot of time kind of communicating that to me and to others as decisions were being made, and sort of we were that conduit for communicating that out. But their primary concern and their primary priority was not putting it out on the site and developing a specific messaging strategy around that. It was sort of You know, we don't have all the answers yet, except for Greg, and we're not prepared to communicate anything outside of what he's communicating to us. So,
do you not think that's a little bit or incredibly high risk for an organization that's built on community, it's built on trust, it's built on transparency? You know, back in the day, and still, I still think now, like, you know, Greg Glassman's at the games, there was almost this open door policy, and now there's changes that could, like, it changes a whole community or and a whole global community, and CrossFit's silent. Like, wasn't that, what's your opinion on that? Is that not high risk?
Well, I think it's high risk in the sense that it creates a level of uncertainty. And so when you look at anything like stock markets or politics or geopolitics or anything like that, you look at it and you say, okay, look, the major players here that have millions or in certain sectors, billions of dollars sunk into this particular industry, they like to know what's going to happen in the next 6 months. Generally speaking, they know what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years. But if they don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, it creates a level of uncertainty. I'm sure you went through this in your gym and you thought to yourself, is there going to be a CrossFit Games next year?
Oh, absolutely, mate.
Or how do I qualify for the CrossFit Games?
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other number of questions that go between that. And then to the affiliate level too, which is like, why do I even do the CrossFit Open? And they created this scenario where there's a lot of uncertainty in the market. And I'm using sort of like marketplace terms here, but like, that's how I see it from that standpoint. And like, affiliate owners are like, I don't know what's happening. CrossFit's not talking to me. And they're sort of the grandfather, father figure in this scenario. And there's a lot of uncertainty. I talked to so many different companies who are like, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do with our athletes. We don't know what to tell our athletes to do. We don't know what to tell them to train, whether to go to sanctional or not. Yeah. We don't feel. And so there was a lot of uncertainty that was created. And that's where I think it was very risky. Yeah. And that's where I think had they had a press secretary, communications director who was in charge of spearheading communications and coming up with a strategy for rolling these changes out and reassuring individuals who needed reassuring, yeah, I think that they would have had less rocky of a season. But hey, they pulled it off, and CrossFit's always been a little bit rogue in that regard.
Yeah.
They're a super libertarian-based organization that says, you know what, like, we're going to let you guys handle it. We're going to give you some of the structure. We're going to tell you some of the things that you can't do because it would be against the affiliate agreement policy. But for the most part, we're going to give you this giant sandbox to play in. If you want to make a $1 billion company out of it, like Rogue, heck yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
We're going to give you the opportunity to do that and a place to play, but we're not going to tell you how to do it. And so part of that mentality is also, we're just not going to, you know, they've never been big on communicating with affiliates on a regular, daily, monthly, weekly basis. You know, they touch base from time to time in these affiliate summits, but they're not in constant communication with affiliates as a whole.
Mate, let's just put that a little bit more clearly. Every year they send you an invoice and they ask you to pay it. That's all they do.
Right. So actually, well, it's funny because an email was sent out a number of months ago. I can't remember how many, but it was the first time, and several affiliate owners, long time, 10 plus year affiliate owners had told me, this is the first time we've ever had an email directly communicated to affiliates in mass from CrossFit HQ. And that I think is telling. In response to your question, which is, it shouldn't come as that much of a surprise that CrossFit didn't come out with this large communications package and sort of hold your hand through this process.
Yeah.
Because they've never really done that before.
Very true, mate. Very true. But you guys did deliver the news, and I can imagine.
Well, we tried.
I was literally gripped to your site, and it's almost like leaderboard stalking.
Refresh.
Are they going to tell us anything else? But it's very true what you said, Justin. Like, as a gym owner, when your community doesn't know and you don't really have any answers, the future kind of becomes a little bit uncertain. Like, what's it actually going to look like? Should we do the open? Are we pushing? You know, and all of those questions that you came up with there, like, they're all going through a lot of our members' minds. And I think we saw, like, you know, people's confidence in the brand of CrossFit dipped a little bit in October, November. It generally did. I mean, mate, we'll talk a little bit in a few minutes how it's come back. But that must have been an interesting time. So you guys put out the news, and then your email, your phone, your communication channels must have gone off the hook, mate.
Yeah, we pulled almost 500,000 visits to our site the day that we announced the changes after I got off the phone with Greg.
Wow.
Which is tons. I mean, that's scripts for a single day. We didn't even do that during the CrossFit Games. I mean, we did do that many visits. We did more than that, but we didn't do that in a single day.
Wow.
So it was like 450,000 or something page views that day, and it was like nuts, right? Because this just affected the entire global community. As they'd already been hearing some rumblings of this little bit. So yeah, that was what I would consider to be a turning point. And then once we found out that the entire media team was getting let go, the games media team specifically was getting let go, and they were going to be pivoting some of their focus away from newsy items, then it was like, okay, now there's a huge hunger and a vacuum for content. There was a vacuum where people wanted to know anything, and there were very few places where you could go to get that, and we were one of them.
Yeah, wow. You must have been thinking, wow, I set out, as you said earlier, I set out to sort of bring this community together, and now, did you feel like a sense of responsibility that like people would be asking you, you've got all this traffic on your site, you know, it must have been an interesting situation for you.
Well, this is a very interesting situation. There was actually a lot of pressure to do way more than we did because there were so many questions, and we had at that moment access to a lot of information, not just from CrossFit HQ, but just across the board. Everybody was sort of talking to us for the first time, and I had to kind of press pause on doing too much too quickly because we are still small, and we were even smaller then, and it was going to be one of those, you're never going to catch up and you're just going to burn out scenarios.
Yeah.
But we did feel a big sense of responsibility to figure out what the heck was going on and communicate that to the people that cared. Yeah. And as a journalist, if you're going to claim that title, that's one of your primary responsibilities, is to actually say, we have a responsibility to our readers first, or to CrossFitters in broadly speaking first, and to say CrossFitters, as a whole, the community as a whole has a right to know what's going on at the top brass and have an understanding of what the future of CrossFit as a community and as a company looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we were trying our best to do that and to meet that mandate. And I think we were rewarded in the sense that we tried to handle it maturely and we worked as hard as we could to get as much of that out there. We didn't get everything, but we got it. I think the highlights and the things that people really absolutely needed to know and see.
Yeah, and as I've said, congratulations. I thought you guys did really a fantastic job. Once the news was out, mate, there was obviously a lot of, unless people really read your site and read it properly, which people are generally, I feel, pretty good at reading headlines and then making up their own story.
Yeah, a couple paragraphs.
I mean, but on your site, it was pretty clear. The new format of the games, sanctionals, country winners, and all of this, like that whole new structure, you guys put it out there. What were your initial thoughts? You know, having been around CrossFit and working in the area that you do, what were your initial thoughts about the new format for the CrossFit games for the season?
I thought the new format was I really thought it was a good idea. I thought it was a fun idea and a cool way of expanding the sport.
Yeah.
I think they were actually a little bit surprised at how quickly it was able to take hold in the community and move as quickly as it did. In my first conversations with Greg back in late August, after the games, they weren't sure if they were going to have 5 or 15 sanctionals in the first year.
Right.
They just didn't know it yet, but they ended up having 15. In fact, the number was that they were aiming for, or Greg had thrown out there, was 16, and they ended up with 15. And so they were concerned that they weren't going to have all of them on board on time, and so they were keeping the open as a direct qualifier in order to make sure that they were able to meet the number of athletes that you would want on the field of play. Recognizing that if they had only gone with national champions and 5 sanctionals, that clearly, except for the best of the best countries, the athletes that really had proven that they deserve a spot at the CrossFit Games, wouldn't be enough spots for them to get there.
Yeah.
So it would have changed the dynamics of the game a lot. So recognizing that, they opened up the top 20, and that was where that concept came from.
Yeah, and I think I think in my opinion, mate, is that that's right, because you've opened it super wide, but you've also ensured that maybe, let's say, at the top end of the competition, you're getting the people that you want there.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, it's, you're not really worried about the Matt Frazier's and Tia's of the world. Like that's not a primary concern, but it is like, you know, athletes sort of, you know, 5 through 15, 5 through 20. And, you know, if you only have 5 sanctionals and you're a little bit concerned about like, well, if you've designed a system where Annie Thor's daughter can't get to the CrossFit games, it's a little bit odd, right?
Yeah. It is very interesting. Thoughts on those sanctional events, mate? Did you get to a few of them? How did you feel?
Oh God, I went to a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think altogether we sent people to 9 sanctionals last year, from the team. Tommy was at one point, he went to Mid-Atlantic, which is in Washington, D.C., back home, then to Asia. Then he went from Asia to Northern California, Northern California to Iceland, Iceland back to Northern California, Northern California to Brazil.
Wow.
And I did a similar trek where I was in Ireland for the open announcement for 19.5, back home, then Kansas with Heppner. Back home. Oh no, Washington D.C. before that. I was also in Washington D.C. and then I was in Iceland with Tommy, and then we were in Brazil together, and then I was back home, and it was like, you know, you're just kind of like, holy crap, this is an unsustainable path. But you know, we were all in for the first season to figure out we're gonna go to as many of these as we can. We got to learn and observe from these and figure out what makes sense from a coverage standpoint. And what I saw was each event got consistently a little bit better. You know, they learned a little bit more from the other ones that were going on.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little further behind than others for various reasons. And some of these are, you know, legacy events that have been going on 8, 9 years. And so they have a big leg up, and then some of them are first year events. And even the first year events that I saw in person or online did an excellent job executing on these events. You know, they do need some help, and there's a crop of individuals that came from CrossFit that are going to be really helpful in improving this season from a logistical operational standpoint. Yeah. And those are going to continue to get better. But I was vast, like really very impressed with a number of these sanctionals and what they put on. The programming was pretty dynamic. It was also very interesting. It also varied a ton between sanctional to sanctional.
Yeah.
And they worked their butts off to put on a first-class event. And I think for the most part, they did that. And next year is going to be a great opportunity to improve on the 14 that did it this year. We're doubling up in the 2019-2020 season. And so now it's going to get even bigger, and there's going to be a few new ones there that are going to operate for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but as a whole, like the sanctional season is a really exciting, really great opportunity to grow. And we knew that year one was going to be what it was. And the year two is going to be a little different, and it's already shaping up to be different.
You said something quite interesting there, Justin, that like different sanctionals, programming slightly different. And that's kind of like, we've seen that this year. It's going to change again, sort of for the coming year. What's your thoughts on, do you think athletes are going to be starting to target certain competitions because that programming maybe suits their ability a little bit better? What do you think about the fact that everyone is different? So the way that each athlete qualifies for the games kind of could play into their strengths, weaknesses. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that there's a couple key things to pay attention to as an athlete who's looking to qualify in this new system. If you're going for a sanctionals versus an open qualification, number one, are you going team or individuals? There were a few events where teams was very much like an individual, was individualized events. Mm-hmm. And so there were events where, you know, you didn't have a worm or any kind of synchronized movements and stuff. And it was a lot more like, do you have the 4 fittest individuals?
Yeah.
You're probably going to be top 3 and have a very solid chance at the top spot. And there are some events where super team oriented. And so that's one of the big ones. And I wouldn't be able to hazard a guess as to which ones are going to do what this year. I think everybody kind of learned from that environment a little bit more. Yeah. Foreign ones certainly don't have as much access to things like worms or perhaps I don't think regionals ever really had anything else other than a worm. So probably not that, but the synchronized movements or the team based elements, those kind of things I think are going to get incorporated a lot more now. Mm-hmm. And then from an individual side, there's a couple different things. Certain events are 2 days, certain events are 3 days, and there's a couple events that are 4 days. So the question is, where do you excel? Do you excel in an event that perhaps is a little bit more like the CrossFit Games, is programmed a little heavier traditionally, a little longer, maybe a little bit more events or a little more outside? If that's your jam, then yes, I do think you're going to start gravitating towards one that's proven to be that way.
Yep.
And what the first indicator of that is, how many days is the competition?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a 2 competition, you know, okay, 7, 8 events max. There's no, I mean, they can't throw in 9, right? Like, that's just getting ridiculous. Where it's like a back-to-back, or it's a it's a 1 rep max lift into something else that sort of allows them 250 point events that are scheduled back-to-back or something like that. And so those are, I think, key indicators that people are going to look to. And I think that every smart coach and smart athlete out there is saying, look, what opportunities do I have that are going to play to my advantage?
Yeah.
Like, I think certainly going to Egypt is going to be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, Fikowski picked Asia and he sort of planted his flag early, which I think was a very smart strategy. I think it warded a lot of people away that were may have been interested parties. But I mean, look at an event like Egypt, like, or Chengdu, like, that's in the middle of China.
Yeah.
Like, the middle of China. It's not like a coastal city at all. It's like 2,000 miles from the ocean.
Wow.
So, you know, Egypt, like, how many people are going to pick Egypt? Like, how many top athletes are going to pick that country? So there's a little bit of gamesmanship that can go on there. And I think that smart athletes should stake their claim right now. I think they should go do the Fikowski thing and say, you know what, like, I'm going here, and just lay it down and see if anybody decides to sign up.
Yeah, it's that, and I think that in itself is going to bring a lot of excitement to sort of getting people to the 2020 games. Mate, dialing back, 2019 games, we saw 150 people show up, 150 individual athletes show up. This was, I've seen it talked about, I've read it on your site. Bjorgvin was talking about the cuts. He said it's brutal. They're cutting down to 10 now. First event on Saturday, he actually said that's fucked. And to make it on a sprint event, so much can go wrong. Mate, what was it like at the games? Because it was brutal. People have trained the whole year and they could be cut. First event, second event, it was just going half, 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 half all the way through. Give us your insights. What did you see?
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of athletes over the course of, well, during the competition and then after the competition as well, once everything died down. And sort of, you know, the ones competing were certainly not pleased to be going home early. Dave Castro's response at the ending press conference was, be better.
Yeah.
And in some instances, he's right. You know, this is the unknown and unknowable. And if you can't pass the test, do you really deserve to keep going on? But mostly where the grumbling kind of happened was between the 20 and the 10 cut.
Yeah.
And it happened over the sprint event on Saturday morning. And sort of, you know, a lot of athletes feeling like, you know what, like, you know, I can make myself go harder on Mary, but I can't really make myself sprint faster. Like, I do have a top side there. It's kind of like having a sprint event, a specialty event. And I would, and, you know, those who were really big proponents for it, especially those that worked for CrossFit, you know, were saying like, no, this is a totally adequate test. And I said, yeah, it's absolutely an adequate test. 100%. But I think if you swap the clean event in the evening and the sprint event in the morning, you would have had a different 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's where I go, okay, from the 20 to the 10, I think, and I haven't talked to anybody outside of the CrossFit organization that has disagreed with me on this one, but you're welcome to be the first one. I haven't talked to anybody that hasn't agreed with this thought here. Is that from the cut from 20 to 10, it should have been all day. You have a really complete Saturday. The test was beautiful. Power and speed. You have the clean event, which is raw strength and coordination. And then you have that middle event, which was another brutally elegant CrossFit workout with the hang cleans and hang split cleans, hang split snatches, pegboard, double unders. There's a beautifully designed day. And I think that after Saturday, you would have gone into Sunday and you would have had 10 different athletes, not completely different, but you would have had a different 10 and you would have had a fitter 10 at the end of the day. Right. And there's also something that people forget, which is that injuries are prevalent in the CrossFit Games. These guys have been training their butts off for sometimes maybe even 9 months or 10 months if they've gone the full season to get their to finally get their shake.
Mm.
Others maybe a little bit less, but they are turning the heat up in their training sessions. These guys are doing 4 or 5 hours daily. And so injuries creep up in that scenario. And so when you get through Saturday, it's like, you know what? sometimes the 10th fittest is the 10th least injured.
Between
10th, 11th, and 12th, and 13th, there's sometimes a major injury has a play there. And it just creeps up over a competition like the CrossFit Games. That's just what happens. You see it. They're all dealing with something. Very few of them are ever 98 to 100%. Yeah. And so you kind of see that. And so by the end of Saturday, you probably weeded out the people who are suffering from an injury and it's affecting their performance. Yeah. And so do I think that the fittest, we're absolutely the fittest at the end of the year, like the end of the day, number one and number one on the male and female side, 110% agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll find anybody that will disagree with that, but I think that you won't feel like it'd be harder to argue that 2 through 10 are absolutely the 2nd through 10th fittest people on the planet. And ultimately it is a test to determine that. And I think that if you've done a full day of Saturday with the cuts after Saturday's evening event, I think you would really feel pretty confident that the 10 fittest sort of were selected. Not really trying to take away anything away from the athletes, but it's just the way. Like I said, you switch the clean event, you switch the sprint event, different athletes would have been there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I totally agree with that. And by evidence of that, there were several athletes who couldn't lift the first barbell.
Yeah, which was quite surprising, actually, wasn't it? It's it's interesting. I mean, mate, I agree that I think from a spectator perspective to have, and from an excitement perspective to have those athletes in until the end of Saturday and make that cut at the end of Saturday to 10 athletes. So Sunday is your top 10. I think it's a fair argument. But I think at the same time, the CrossFit Games is the CrossFit Games. Like you said, it's constantly varied. Dave Castro does not give a shit. And, we've seen Fraser's now won the games 4 times. Bjorgvin, that was the 2nd or 3rd time he's been on the podium.
The 2nd or 3rd.
So it's sort of like, and you know, Castro is brutal that he doesn't actually give a shit if you're number 4 to number 150. He's trying to find number 1, and he gives a little bit of attention to number 2 and 3 as well. But I think it's going to be something that's going to be debated definitely for a while. But I find it interesting. I'll get your thoughts a little bit. Is that there was a lot of talk about, like, you've quoted a few of the athletes on your site, Bjorgvin, Patrick Vellner, James Newbury as well. Should people just be like, stop whinging about what they want it to be? Shouldn't they just get on with it? Like, come on, you know, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. Look, I think all these athletes have a voice and they've earned the right to express that opinion. Dave doesn't have to take it, but you don't have to be quiet either. So like, do I think that if 50 athletes were to come and voice, resounding opinions that they thought that the cuts were inappropriate and that critical mass allowed us to write story after story after story, do I think it would cause individuals to perhaps reconsider the cuts for next year or take it as thoughtful criticism of what happened at the CrossFit Games? Yeah, I do. Do I think it'll change anything? Not necessarily, but I think that it will cause it would cause enough stir where what I know is that HQ reads what we put out.
Right.
And I know they'll see it. And I know that I know that once we put a thoughtful story together about that, and if we were to do that, and you've got, 2 dozen elite athletes and coaches and everybody arguing that, maybe it's not, wasn't the right approach for this reason, and they put thoughtful and reasonable arguments together, do I think it'll affect the outcome? I don't know if they'll change anything. But what I do know is that they're not going to change it if you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you've earned your right to be there. If you don't like the format, talk about it. I say this all the time, like, don't be an asshole about it.
Yeah.
There's a time and place for that. And that's probably in private, but heck yeah. Like, if you don't like it, great. You're an elite athlete and you've been competing in a lot of events. And do I think that you have a valued and educated opinion on what constitutes a fitness test? Yeah, I think you do. Yeah. So go for it.
Fair enough.
Certainly makes my job more fun. So,
one thing that I'm sure makes your job more fun as well is one thing that we saw in that final press conference where there was a lot of comparison between Matt Fraser and Rich Froning. They're 4 titles each. What's your thoughts, mate? Is it right? Is it fair? I mean, Matt Fraser pretty shut people down in that press conference. What's your thoughts?
I don't know Matt very well, and I don't know Rich very well. I've met both of them on a number of occasions. I've had some light conversations with both of them. I know it's a bit of a touchy subject, and it's probably, you know, most closely akin to maybe like a Michael Jordan versus Kobe Bryant NBA kind of discussion, where they both played right around the same time. But Jordan was before, and they both ended with 5 championships and an ungodly amount of records here and there. And, you know, you can have this debate any which way, right? Yeah. And even if Frazier wins 5, you know, so there's still kind of the Rich. Well, Rich is like, you know, 4+4 team events. Yeah. You know, so now you're like, okay, shoot. Well, if he just keeps winning, then he'll be at 9, and you know, you're like, oh man. So how do we do this one? And look, I talked to the Mayhem crew themselves when we were hanging out in France. We did a little bit of a sit down interview on camera, and you can check it out on our YouTube channel. So I'm not saying anything that they didn't say themselves, but you know, they kind of made it clear that like Rich's has made this, I don't want to say excuse, but he's just kind of said like, I just don't have that like kill switch anymore. Like you have to have that to go into individuals, and you do have to have that, yeah. But they sort of like, admitted for Rich that he has it and he never loses a workout. I mean, right. he does not just like, he doesn't lose and he won't lose and he refuses to lose and he'll do what's necessary to win. And they all see him as being the fittest that he's ever been. And I think it's proof positive when you look at his open score, where he improved on his 16.2 score for 19.2 by like some ungodly, like, a minute and a half, 2 minutes or something like that. I'm not even sure what it was, but you look at that and you go, evidently the guy clearly is fitter than in 2016. Yeah. And he didn't even have to do the open this year, by the way, because he was on teams. And I wish that this sport would just pony up and pay the guy $500,000 to go individual this year. And ultimately that's probably what it requires. And I wish I had a heck of a lot more money, but that would probably, you know, it would bankrupt my company. And so that is the most sought after, most entertaining, most, if Rich Froning, when you remember when we teased that April Fool's joke about him going individual?
Yeah.
Site went bonkers. It almost crashed because wow. People were blowing their minds. It even tricked games athletes who commented on his Instagram that they were like so stoked for this. This is the bout of all time. And if I were a media mogul, I would create so much buzz around that, that look, boxing promoters, UFC fighters, they goad. They get them to say yes. And a lot of times it's a big check for half or $1 million. And says, look, if you're willing to do this for a year, I'll pay you $1 million. Yeah. And get him at sanctionals, competing at a sanctional event, you know, too. I mean, those sanctional ratings would be through the roof, yeah, to see Rich competing as an individual. Just go back and look at the Legends event at Rogue. Go back and look at the numbers and the hype and the interest in seeing Rich Froning out on the floor, even though it meant nothing. He wasn't even competing technically in Legends. He kind of was like, I'm here, I'm gonna go out on the floor, but don't count my score. And so he didn't even place the event, and look at the media hype around that.
Yeah.
This is match of all time, and if I were a rich individual, I'd make it happen. And I can guarantee the sanctionals I chose in the contract with Rich over this one would be thanking me for a very long time, because they would make their entire year on this one thing, on Rich Froning coming to compete as an individual, and it would blow people's minds, and the ratings on it would.
We'll have to, anyone that's listening will be watching and reading Morning Chalk up closely, because we can obviously.
Hey, Rich Philanthropist is just feeling like check happy. You know how to get in touch with me. And I'm California, so pay me a visit. Dinner's on me. So.
Exactly. No, it would be, mate. I think it'd be fantastic for so many things, and I just, yeah, it, that would be. That would be wild. Looking,
be the showdown of the century.
Exactly. Mate, looking forward to the 2020 season. We've touched a little bit on sanctionals. What do we see? What's on the cards for Morning Chalk Up? What's you guys plan now that you've had probably the biggest year that you've had? And again, congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Have you changed your plan a little bit for 2020? What can we expect to see from Morning Chalk Up?
So we've learned a lot in traveling to these sanctioned events and also by covering the CrossFit Games in a bigger way than we've ever done before. We're taking that playbook and we're sort of trying to break it down to be, okay, how do we do this? How do we do this profitably? And how do we give fans the most access to the CrossFit Games season and the athletes that we possibly can? So right now we're putting together that playbook and we're going to sanctionals and saying, look, this is how we plan to cover your event. Are you in? Are you out? And we're sort of going to have to say no to people because we can't go to 28 events. We don't have the staff. We don't have the resources. Right. We don't have the sleep hours to accommodate 28 sanctioned events, but we will try and make it to roughly half of them and bring first-rate coverage to those events. And that is even more than we did last year. So we're going to try and up our game and bring you in front of the athletes and the experiences that you're looking for. Amazing. For this season. But regardless, we're going to track the entire season. We'll have stats on our site. We'll have an interactive leaderboard with all the stats that you can look for every sanctioned event. We'll be pulling them and updating them regularly. We'll be updating with stories about each event. So we're going to do that. But then there's a dozen or so that we're going to try and actually go to and really do a first rate job of covering it visually and in a storytelling fashion, right from the sidelines. So that's kind of our plan. The one thing that, like I said, in difference between last year and then this year, when you think about it, is this is an evolving process, and we're already seeing that process evolve a lot. You know, this afternoon, Wednesday here in the United States, Fittest in Cape Town announced how they're going to be qualifying athletes for their event, and we have been covering a rolling number of different qualification styles and processes for sanctioned events. There's exactly 1/4 of all events are going to be using the open as their primary means of qualification. Mm. It's totally different than last year. I wrote an op-ed at the end of middle of last year saying, I don't know why more events don't use the open. It's been qualifying people for the next level of competition like regionals since it came around. Why shouldn't you use it to qualify for your sanctional? Yeah. Makes a lot of sense to me. Down Under did it. And now six others are joining now. And I imagine a few others will be on the list. And so now nobody's using wildcards. Nobody's using these direct, handed out invites. They're using earned exemptions, like top 10 at the CrossFit Games automatically gives you a spot. You just got to sign up.
Yeah.
And they're doing things like that, saying, look, if you're top 10, you've earned it. You made it the final cut. Congratulations. You have a shoe in. And there's a number of events that are going to be doing that. And so now it's going to be about, now you're going to be able to plan out a lot smarter since we have the entire season calendar already set right now. We know everything except the dates of the CrossFit Games. And now you're going to know a lot more about the qualification process. Those people that earned that top 10 spot, they actually earned a lot more than that when it comes down to it, because not only did they get paid, they got direct invitations to a number of events. Yeah. And that's continued to develop as a process. And I think that when we look back in 2 or 3 years, or we look forward in 2 or 3 years, I think that what we're going to see is a season that feels a lot more like a professionalized season. Maybe we'll have point structures and pro cards, maybe not. It's certainly heading in the direction of being a more formalized season. And that's one of the unique benefits of CrossFit being sort of laissez-faire in that regard. They've allowed the sanctioned events to come together and decide how they want to run things. Amazing. And now they're doing it.
Mate, absolutely fantastic. We've gone on there. We've covered a lot of things, and I know you're tight on time. Mate, I just, Justin, absolutely brilliant. Morning Chalk Up, everyone needs to get over on it, and that you guys are the go-to place. You've made it your own, and just listening there to you as you speak, mate, it's so energizing. It's fresh, and it's inspiring, mate, because you've taken opportunity, you've run with it, and you've got a lot of first-hand experience from the athletes. So, mate, congratulations.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate
keep doing it. And you make that Fronning Fraser showdown happen. Yeah.
I don't think we're big enough yet.
No problem.
We may be like large in the media landscape as far as CrossFit's concerned, but we're a few million followers short of being able to like actually move the needle when it comes to forcing public opinion. I don't know. I'm going to give it some thought, but if I can find a way to get them out together, I think that would be the best thing for the sport. I think it would be a huge hit. People would love it. Bring a live face. I'm sure Dave would love it. So, you know, it's going to happen. It'd be great.
It would be good. Well, if you speak about it with the energy that you've spoken on this show to a few other people, mate, I'm sure people will get inspired and it'll happen. So, yeah. Right, there we go. That is Justin Morning Chalk Up. Justin, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to hook up all the links. It's morningchalkup.com. It's Morning Chalk Up on Instagram. And people, if they're not getting your mailer, they definitely need to be getting it, right?
That's absolutely right. Can't live without it.
Awesome, mate. Thank you so much for your time. And we'll maybe connect after all the sanctionals and we're ready for the games next year. And we'll see if all these good predictions that you've made with all this energy actually come to the table.
Yeah, we'll see.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers.